ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is called The Weekly Pint. It is not a show. I can already tell you that there's probably going to be technical difficulties, too, because I couldn't change all of the things that needed to change quickly. So I don't actually know what's about to happen, but it's probably not going to be what it's supposed to. I can, like, sit here and try to do it as I'm talking, but that never works either because I can't think. Let's see. Oh, yeah, every single one of these. See, I figured. All right. I'm having some kind of weird video thing. I don't know if it's a Facebook issue or what, but I decided to try to fix it on my end here. And, oh, Lord. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's not even going to work. It's okay. It's fine. Nobody cares. It's probably better if I'm blurry. Am I blurry for all of you guys? All right. As you jump onto the stream, please tell me what you're drinking, because that's kind of the point of a happy hour, is to drink together. Let's see. Josh is having Brewer's Dozen from Rheingeist. That's been a popular one over the last few weeks. Chris is having 7-year-old Fitzgerald bottled in bond, 7-year old Fitzgerald, 7-year old Fitzgerald. Okay. Old Fitzgerald, 7-year old Fitzgerald. It's a 7-year old Fitzgerald. The old Fitzgerald is 7 years old. There we go. Let's see. Julia is finishing a citrus splash, I think, popple tonic. Then going to move on to Andy Gator, Helles Doppelbach from Abita. Ryan, meanwhile, is having double knotted Imperial German pretzel ale from Third Eye Brewing. All of that sounds great. Somebody tell me if I'm blurry. It's going to stress me out. Although I could pull up, let's see what's happening on YouTube. This might make noise, and if it does, I'm sorry. Okay. View my channel. Okay. Oh, there's a live thing there. Let's click that. Oh, yep, there's me. That's a okay, so it looks great on YouTube. Not blurry. Okay, so it just must be Facebook for me. Facebook must be mad at me for something. I don't know. Whatever. Chris says if we drink enough, everyone will be blurry. That sounds like a plan. Okay, let me turn this here off. And then make this bigger. Okay, there will be a couple things that probably mess up later. That's fine. It's fine. Nobody cares. I need something to drink, though. Empty glasses are not fun. Full glasses are fun. Making a full glass an empty glass, that's the point of this show. I got some rum. So something happened. Something that I thought I was done having have happen. But for some reason, we're not done. So I was moving some books around in my office. That's the other room over here. You guys don't ever see that. It's like the only spot in the basement that I don't think I've ever filmed anything, and I don't know that I ever will. It's like my own little like happy cave. Anyway, so I was rearranging books on the bookshelf, and on some of the bookshelves I have random bottles of booze because I have to stash booze wherever I can find spaces, and I also like to drink when I'm sitting around. And I found more rum. I found a mystery bottle. It's not a mystery bottle, but I found a bottle of rum that I forgot that I had in the house. Like, I keep finding rum. Actually, I found two bottles of rum this week. I found this one, and then I found one upstairs that's actually my wife's, but I'm probably going to steal it next week to drink it on this show because it's an interesting one. I might have had it on this show. I don't know. If I've tried it on the show, it's been a while. This one I've definitely never had on this show because I can't even tell you the last time that I drank it. I've had this forever. This is called Pirate. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it in the store. If you have, it comes in this fun little short fat bottle with a fun little bandana or a neckerchief or whatever you want to call this thing. And it's usually got this little tag, this little metal tag that hangs off that has this little pirate guy on it, this guy. He's on the tag. There he is. He's down here somewhere. I don't know. He's hanging on some kind of a hook or something. Clearly, I've drank a lot of this but not all of it. So we'll put a fix to that. Okay. It has a certification of hand bottling. Okay. That must mean quality. This is like, I think when I bought this, I saw this sitting on a shelf and it screamed craft beverage, like something that handmade and made with pride. It had all of these little things all over it and stuff. And that was probably a big reason why I bought it. It's a, like, I like the bottle. Like, it's a good, like, thick, like, heavy glass bottle, like something that I should probably save. I don't know that I will, but I probably should. It has a number on it that doesn't tell me anything. The number is 1734762 and initials of KP. KP must have bottled my rum. It's 80 proof. And it's an XO Reserve, which has to mean that it's good, right? XO Reserve. Reserve is, Ryan says, for the final week of the rumination, I think some Jack Sparrow cosplay is in order. The problem is, I don't know when the last week is. I just eventually won't do it anymore. It's not going to be planned out. Okay, there's more on here. Chris says, my furnace has a shorter serial number. This is fine aged. So it's aged fine. Fine aged. And it is Caribbean rums. Fine aged Caribbean rums. Okay. There's some more. Okay, this is bottled in Guyana. Not made there, bottled there. Okay. I think there's only one distillery in Guyana. Diamond, something like that. This must be from there. Although bottled there, not necessarily made there. It's fine imported rum. Fine. It's just fine imported rum. Sole importer. Oh, okay. Okay. It's imported by the Patron Spirits Company. That explains kind of the look of the bottle. Imported by Patron. Piraterum.com. That's all it tells me. I mean, there's a Surgeon General's warning, but that doesn't really tell me anything. Okay. The cork is still intact. That's a good sign. Although, barely. It's leaving a little bit of cork in there. It's fine. Because it's fine. I don't know if I'm excited about this. I didn't finish the bottle, so it can't be great. Okay, yeah, this cork is, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Fine imported rum. It's dark. Amber. No floaties for my cork. That's good. That's good. Oh, okay. Definitely smells a little bit rough. It's got some kind of citrusy stuff going on though. Like it smells like Yeah, it smells like very industrial rough rum that somebody like threw some like orange peel into to kind of disguise that. That's kind of what it smells like to me. Not bad, but there's none of like that really great like molassesy butterscotchy happiness that I love about a great rum. Eric says, if I want to be, I could take my glasses off. I'm assuming we're talking about me being blurry. No, just drink heavily, as somebody pointed out earlier. If we drink enough, we all get blurry. Zach says, I was going to mention, you were talking about garage beer last week, and you were talking about advertising. You never mentioned the cool one with one of my all-time favorite punk bands, Newfound Glory. Yeah, they did a music video where they were sponsored by garage beer in the music video. I'm assuming it was a sponsorship. I did see that. I didn't watch the music video yet, but I saw. Where do you watch your music videos? I guess YouTube? Is MTV still on? Can I turn on MTV? I would like to watch MTV and watch a music video on MTV. All right. Cheers. I don't. What does a pirate say? I don't know. Arr. Okay. Yeah, a little bit rough, but not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Definitely some citrus. Not a lot else. That's Eric says YouTube chat isn't going through. Isn't going through on YouTube, or isn't going through because it's going through on the screen here for us. let me check on YouTube for you. It might be something that I did. Oh, let's see. It's going to make noise again. Sorry. For us. Okay. The chat looks like it's going through to me. Oh, I don't want that. There's a thing I can set it for members only. Yeah, the chat looks like it's working fine for me. Unless there's, you know what? If you're saying something and I'm not seeing it, I wouldn't know that. How would I know that it's working fine? I just know some things are going through. Mind blown. It could be completely failing. That is very possible. Yeah, sorry. The idea of like the chat, like I spent a lot of time, more time than I care to admit, trying to find the right way to have people be able to chat on Facebook and people to chat on YouTube, and to find a way to get those two things to come together. And because of that, sometimes it just doesn't work as good as it should. It's not great. How many people like are you guys actually reading the chat over here, like during the show? Like when people talk, do you pay attention to what's going on over here, or do you just like focus on your platform, Facebook or YouTube or whatever it may be? Because that could change the way that that I present all of this. Chris says, I found if you're on a Mac, your chat problems are fewer. Maybe. Eric says, isn't that made by the same people that make Patron Tequila? I don't know that they officially make it, but they definitely import it into the United States. So I don't know if they have some kind of ownership. Julia says, I watched the combined chat. I wish there was like I could get a good way to have the combined chat as just this whole separate thing, honestly. But yeah, Ryan says, I'm on my phone, so I focus on the platform because the chat near you is too tiny. That's kind of what I was fearing. Not fearing. I mean, it's fine. If there's something that you need to know, I'll try to read it to you guys. That's part of the whole point. But yeah, I just get there's not like a good solution for it. You know, I don't want it to just be on one platform. I like having it on both Facebook and YouTube, but I don't know. Chris says we sell large screens at Micro Center. I encourage everybody to watch me on the biggest screen you can come up with, like big projector, just so that I'm huge. Go project me on your neighbor's house, like, and watch me get drunk. I think it's fun. Unless you're one of my neighbors, don't project me on my house because I don't want to see that crap. This isn't like I don't hate this. I don't. It just doesn't do anything for me. It's like there's just not a lot going on. It doesn't even really taste like rum. It tastes like it almost tastes like just some kind of extensively flavored vodka, like. Somebody described what rum is supposed to taste like and then tried to flavor a vodka to taste like that. Yes, Zach, the comment went through. I read the comment out loud. I read it to everybody. This is probably why that bottle was just hanging out on a shelf. Because, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could make it and put it in a cocktail or something. I could put it in a cocktail. That's the only thing that I could think of. I'm not going to sit around and just sip on this stuff. I mean, I am, but, like, after tonight, I'm not going to do that because it's just not that good. If Patron is making this, I'm disappointed in you. Patron is an interesting brand. I mean, that's obviously not rum. That's a whole different summer. But I think that Patron is one of those brands that you expect to not be good because they've spent so much money marketing and creating it as some kind of premium brand. You expect to be disappointed by it. However, when you drink it, it actually ends up tasting really freaking good. Like, it's a good tequila. Is it worth the price? I don't know. There's a lot of spirits that I don't know if they're really worth the price. But it tastes good. If this is actually owned by them or made by them or something, which I don't know because I didn't do any research because I'm an idiot. If this is made by them or owned by them, I'm a little disappointed in how they approached this one. You could do better with rum. Like, we've seen that throughout this whole rumination. All of these rums that I've tried, there's a lot of great rums out there, and I scratched the surface. I have not gone deep. I have barely scratched the surface, and we've had some really great rums. Like, imagine if I actually, like, dumped a decent amount of money into collecting a bunch of rum. There's a bunch of cool stuff that we could probably taste. This is not one of them. It's fine. It's fine. It's fun. It's fun finding mystery booze in your house. I'm allergic to pirates. There is a long kind of history of pirates and rum. I mean, we could go into some fun history, some nerdy pirate history. I have like three or four books about pirates that are sitting in a stack somewhere in my office. I stack books based on kind of like when I'm reading something and I get in some kind of weird tangent off of that, I will collect several books that kind of go down that rabbit hole. And then sometimes then I'll spend a couple months diving into that rabbit hole. Long story. And recently I was reading a book about rum, and there was a whole chapter in there about pirates. And Eric says, I guess it's coming through now, but like a 10-minute delay. Yeah, the blurry comment did seem like it was a little delayed. I wonder if it's actually the platform or if it's just your stream. If you like refresh or something, it will catch you up. I don't know. But anyways, I say all this because at some point, there's going to be a couple months where I'm going to be kind of obsessed with pirates. And so I'm just preparing everybody that spends any amount of time around me, preparing you for my pirate phase, because it's coming. It's coming. Dar. This is fine. I can handle it. It's definitely not the worst rum that we've had in the rumination. That crown definitely still goes to Captain Morgan, who's a pirate, by the way. If you didn't know that, Zach wants to know how the anniversary for Cincinnati Brew Dads, the Cincinnati Brew Dads. Cheers, everybody, drink. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to check it out. It was great. It was fun. It's always fun to like be able to just sit down for a minute and just hang out with people. And it's always fun getting a chance to hang out with people in a context of people who also like obsessively make content about local beer and drinking, because I, as you probably know, I'm a little obsessed with that. So it was great to see everybody and just kind of spend some time just hanging out. I don't get to do that very often. I'm usually making something or trying to figure out a way to work or trying to figure out a way to do something. The Cincinnati Brew Dads. yeah, it was good. And then we stopped by Glendale House afterwards and hung out for a little bit. And that was great. I haven't been there in way longer than I should have been there or not been there. It's one of those places that every time I stop there, it's like remembering all over again everything you love about a space. And that's always kind of refreshing and fun. I'm going to open a beer, and then we'll get into some of the topics that I want to talk about tonight, because we've got a couple interesting ones. Let me get this all fixed now that I... Okay. Okay. Empty glass. I was going to do like a blind you guys can choose for me tonight, and I was going to stash a couple fun sodas in there, and then I realized that's only opening the risk of somebody choosing a soda for me to drink, and I don't really want to drink a soda. I want to drink a beer, so I didn't do that, but maybe we'll do that soon, because I've kind of got this weird little stockpile that's been building way more than I wanted it to. I was going to try to do one soda tasting video or blog post or social media post or something every week, and I have not, so they're just building now. I have like a crumb cake soda, which sounds so good to me. There's some kind of espresso something or other soda. There's another Arizona, whatever they're calling, fruit cocktail thing. Ryan says only if it's a Wandering Monster's hard soda. Yeah, I need to get the hard soda into my fridge, and I also need to get the canned cocktails in my fridge. I also have a canned cocktail video that I need to finish about High Grain. I need to get that done. I should probably do that. I don't know when I can do. I don't know if I have time this week. I don't know if there's a day where I'm not doing something. I don't know. Let's drink a beer. Moral of the story, let's drink a beer. This one has been hanging out in my fridge for a little while. This was a gift when the huge group of Ohio podcasters and bloggers and everybody was down here. I'm kind of excited about it. It's a collaboration beer. And it says, and so I... Forgive me. I spend a lot of time obsessing over Cincinnati. So I don't know everybody that exists. I'm assuming that when this says on here that it's a collaboration with what says West Side with Bowling Pins, I'm going to guess that's a bowling alley. And then it's brewed with Youngstown Coffee. I'm assuming that's a like a coffee shop, but this one, it just says West Side, and that confuses me, because we've got a brewery called West Side, and this is certainly not their logo, unless they went and opened a bowling alley somewhere, which would be cool. That would be like, so maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves for one of the topics I want to talk about, but We talk a lot about how breweries can kind of innovate and be creative and create new things. And I think a brewery that was in a bowling alley would be like one of the coolest things ever. I'm sure it exists somewhere. But it might even exist in lots of different places, but I've never seen it and I want it. In fact, there's a bowling alley pretty close to my house that would be a nice location if anybody's looking. You could put a brewery in there. So this is obviously bowling themed because it's a collaboration with Westside Bowling Alley. It's called The Dude. It is a White Russian Imperial Stout. I'm going to guess it's a big beer. I don't know. I didn't see. Oh, there it is. It's right in front of me. ABV is 8.5. I'm also assuming that it's not dark. I'm assuming it is blonde, like a blonde stout, a big blonde stout. I'm going to get some crap for this. I'm opening myself up to that, and I'm okay with it. I accept my fate. I have never watched The Big Lebowski. I haven't seen it. I recognize that I should. I know that that's one of those go-to movies for a lot of people. I understand the whole White Russian thing. I haven't seen it, so I have to put that out there before we dive into this. I don't know anything about the movie. All I know is that he drinks White Russians, and it's about bowling. That's it. Josh says, sounds like we should have a watch party. Perfect. Let's project it on the neighbor's house. Yeah, so this is definitely a blonde stout. I'm curious if this is actually kind of modeled after a White Russian, or if that's just what they call it, if it's just a blonde stout with some coffee. Don't know. If it was modeled after a White Russian, I think it needs a little bit of lactose. Obviously needs the coffee. And at 8%, it might need to be boozier. I don't know. All right, let's smell and see what we think here. Definitely get coffee. And the coffee's not too far gone. Sometimes if you let things sit, and this has been sitting for a little while, coffee can kind of start to go pretty quick and turns into kind of like a green pepper thing, which I don't want to say green pepper because then it gets in my head. That's one of the ways that I can find coffee in something. As I'm drinking, if I start thinking about green pepper, I'll find that, like green bell peppers. And then I'm like, oh, there it is. It's coffee. Zach says, I own it on DVD. Jeff Bridges is great in it. Come on over and watch it. Ryan says, the downside of bowling, no bonk honk. Okay, you can bring your own big old horn. You might get kicked out, but if you like hide it, they won't know who's honking. I mean, they would know that you were honking every time I got a strike. So they would think it was me. You would get me kicked out. All I smell is coffee, I'm going to be honest. Which is fine, I guess, if it's supposed to be like the cocktail. I think that's a problem here, though. I don't know if it is supposed to be like the cocktail. Yeah, I don't know. I was today at work. I was up north. I say that looking at this. I was not near Birdfish, but... I was up in Enon, Ohio. I don't even know how you're actually supposed to pronounce that. I've always pronounced it Enon, and I don't think that's right. And that's where the new Enon, new Enon, Enon probably is the correct way, brewery is. And I drove past it, and it was kind of torture to not be able to stop. I assume they're open. I feel like I could have just stopped anyways, and just apologized, like, oh, sorry, you're closed. I didn't know. Just had to stop for some beers. Yeah, it's the downside of being at work. We got a phone call. Maybe. Hey, you're on the Weekly Pint. Who is this?
Hey, what's up? No, it's Zach.
What's up, Zach? So, Zach,
It's been a minute.
Yeah, I got to start right off the bat here. I got a couple complaints about you.
Go ahead.
Okay. So no, it's nothing crazy, this weekend between the Brewing Heritage Day, in conversations with a couple people, they told me that I need to be faster about cutting you off if you start rambling about stuff. So I'm going to be ruthless.
Oh, man.
I know. It's fine. No, it's fine. Man. No, it's fine. But
that's
if
that's super shitty.
No, but it's just if it's just if you get a little boring, I got to cut you off. Boss's orders.
No, it's okay. It's the whole. It's well, I try to keep it up. The conversation going. I actually didn't have a lot going on. I just wanted to call in because you don't have a lot of callers. Like if people actually got off their ass and actually called you, besides me and Marco, I would say okay, cool, that's fine. But like Ryan, who's always watching, everybody else, they should call in and say, hey, give you a little call. I know people want to keep the flow going. I get it.
Ryan's a very busy guy. He's very famous, and he can't just be calling into any show that we want him to. The Cincinnati Brew Dads are very, very famous.
I said Cincinnati. Well, say, hey,
do you know they? Do you know they have like 19 new stickers and an online store? And if you go to their online store, you can get Cincy Brew Dad Doodads. Sorry, Cincinnati Brew Dad Doodads.
You know who else should be sponsoring right now is Dick's Potato Chips. They should be sponsoring with them too.
Well, okay.
I don't know. No, I figured I'd call. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
You and gave you shit.
What are you going to give me shit about?
Rambling.
Oh, no. That's fine.
Oh, no.
But well, no, but if you bring up Newfound Glory, I got to cut you off.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, dude. I'll be honest. It's been crazy having a newborn. Like, it's get to the point where it's like my wife's helping out, whatever. And then she comes down. You said I answered or asked a question twice. Sometimes, to be honest, there's a lag on my Facebook. Sometimes I'm like, okay, did I answer that? And everybody's trying to comment all at the same time. So it just ends up being like, okay, did that go through? Or he's like, I don't know. It's almost like it's like you're so famous now that it's like, oh, does he get a chance to read a comment? Or I don't know. You ever get on those people's Instagram? You're like, blah, blah, blah.
I read all the comments.
Okay, but anyway, you are really good about doing that. I guess the two questions, first of all, Glendale House, I think you said you earlier.
Yep.
Dude, I've only been there once, but I met the owners when I went there because it's kind of close by because I think you live near to me because I live in Coleraine, so it's not too far away. But those guys are fucking awesome. They're super cool. Like, I've only been there once, but I do need to go back because you were mentioning them again. And I don't know, just really nice people who own it. I think it's like a husband and wife, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Is that, I don't know if that's, okay. So on that, first thing is, I will say to you, being a family man, you having two kids and your wife, how does your wife, like, my wife would get onto me so badly if I were to leave and do all these random, like, I'm meeting my friends for beer. Like, she's okay for here and there. They go, right now she's not. And so my question to you is, how do you get away with this? How do you get away with your wife not yelling at you or getting onto you about going to all these events?
Sure.
And like, what's the secret, man?
There's a lot to that. So the first part of that is when my kids were newborns, it was not as easy. It gets easier as they get older and they are a little more self-sufficient. Second part of that is sometimes I do get yelled at. Sometimes she gets really pissed off about it. Sometimes she hates that I'm doing things. So, you know, like that, it's not that there's not conflict around the fact that, I go to events and stuff. There's a lot of weeks where, when we're looking at the schedule and we're going over stuff, like the question is that one paid?
Okay.
Is that paid? Is that one, how long is that going to take? Who's going to be there? Because if it's, you know, this person or this person, you'll be there all night. Those are definitely conversations that happen in my household. That's not always fun to talk about in the context of all of this, because people don't necessarily want to hear about me arguing with my wife. With that being said,
it's fine.
Now that my kids are a little bit older, it is a little bit easier.
Sure.
With that being said, there's a reason that this show happens at 9:30 p.m. on Monday nights. It's because
they're all in bed.
Yeah, it's a pretty well. They're definitely not in bed. I can guarantee both of my kids are still awake right now because it's summer vacation.
So usually they stay up late.
But again, they're a little more self-sufficient now. My wife can just go to bed and leave the kids up if she wants to, and that's not a big deal. So
sure.
How do you balance things when your kids are newborns? You just got to communicate about it, you know. And the hard part for me, and this may be getting way too personal, but like my wife is not as social as I am. She's not a fan of going out places. So you have to find the things that she does like and make it very clear, if not forcing her to do those things.
That makes sense.
I don't say forcing my wife to do things like I'm like beating her or something. Let's make that clear.
No. I get what you're saying.
But you gotta
give her something that she wants.
Yeah, like you gotta make it clear that there are things that I'm going to do that you're probably would prefer I would just not be doing. But I want to make it clear that there are things that that you can do too that I probably would rather you not go do. You got to balance it out.
It's totally fine.
But as Ryan points out perfectly on here, newborns equal normal life on hold for a while. And one of the things that I love so much about the fact that Cincy Brewcast, especially the fact that it's been around for so long, you can go and you can listen to past seasons of that, and like you can hear like when I had my first kid, and you can hear me talk about kind of some of those struggles about trying to figure that balance out. This show or that show, when the second kid was born, which was a whole different ballgame. You know, one kid is relatively easy. As soon as you throw another one in the mix, it gets a lot more difficult. You can hear that struggle. You can hear struggles, you know, around different work stuff. You can hear the struggle that when I used to, but Cincy Brewcast used to be me and I didn't host the show. I was just on the show. You know, Mike hosted the show, and then Tina was there. Okay. And to make that switch from having a podcast that I'm on, that all I have to do is come up with my own notes and chime in when I want to chime in. And that was the extent of what I had to do for an episode, to shift into all of the prep for an episode, all of the scheduling for an episode, all of the post-production for an episode, all of the social media sharing of an episode, to shift that into it. Like that was an adjustment. And you can see all of those like periods in like my life as the gnome via these podcasts that I've recorded. And I think that's a ton of fun. And like,
so I have to go back and listen to your old podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you go back, it was probably season two, I guess, was when I had my first kid.
Okay.
So 2017, I think. No, that'd be season three, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know. you can figure it out when you dig in.
I also noticed. Well, I remember you talking. Actually, I don't know if it was either on Truth Bear Podsequences or you guys. I don't know. Sometimes they all kind of run together because I try to listen to all you guys. But it's one of them. I remember you talking not too long ago about how your wife was talking about, so, hey, I got this like vacation. I want to do this and this and this. And you're like, well, I got this thing on the same day. Did you look at the calendar?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, so we have calendars too, but that sometimes doesn't always work. And I'm not, and of course, I have a 4-year-old too. So it's been a little bit easier being able to take her out, do stuff. But of course, you know, my wife's like, gets to the point where it's like, okay, she's getting down to that crunch period. Like, hey, is this not going to be forever? Which she always reminds me of. And I'm trying to find it from a parenting point of view. I know you guys like to talk about fear and stuff like that, and I sometimes wish that we would be able to hear back the craft beer parent or craft parenting podcast. Yeah.
They're a great example.
I miss those guys.
but they're a great example. They've got a newborn at home.
Yeah, that's great.
And their entire show is just them. So parenting takes over. Parenting becomes the thing. And at the end of the day, family comes first always. You know, if there's an event that is going on, even if like there's like a really like amazing event that I want to go to, like the Cincinnati Brew Dads having their first anniversary, if that's going on and at the same time my kid is like got something going on, a school play or something like that. They don't have school plays. Sure. She's never had a school play, but they might. And if she has that going on, guess what I'm going to? Like I'm going to that.
Your
sorry, Cincinnati Brew Dads. Like there, you know, you have to. There's definitely
you're gonna make fun of me forever for that because I said Cincinnati Brew Dads, not Cincy Brew Dads. Sorry, sorry, Ryan. Sorry.
there's a hierarchy of how it all falls into place. With that being said,
cool.
You put stuff on the calendar, and you know, as if it's stuff you have control over, you kind of nudge things in the right direction. But it is super critical for me to make sure I have things on the calendar as early as possible, because there is.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? Are you cracking some kind of nuts over there?
No. Sorry. I was trying to move something around. I'm in the basement, to be honest.
Me too.
That's another thing. I've been trying to clean up my basement because I have so many like random beer stuff laying around.
Me too.
Basically, I'm trying to make my wife happy.
Well,
but see, your wife, I don't know how your wife probably doesn't complain about it because it's like your man cave.
No,
mine is
of course my wife complains about it. All of our wives complain about all of the things. Like, of course she does.
Well, my wife's like, I want to make that a kid's room downstairs. You need to start cleaning up your beer shit, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
your cans, your like randomness. I have a weird habit sometimes. I like to some of my can art. I like to collect and all.
Sure.
Like, I have these like beer sticker. I like sticker albums. I know it sounds super weird, but I like to do that. So I was trying to clean up some stuff while watching you tonight and stuff. That's about it.
It's not weird at all.
I don't want to ramble. The only other question I have besides that is I'm pretty excited to hear about your magazine. I'm sure we're almost getting to the end of July, and you may have already said something somewhere already about it, but do we have any closer time to you releasing your magazine now, or like at the end of this month, or coming very soon, or I don't know. I was just curious.
It's coming soon, I'll say. The goal is definitely to have it printed this month. I am still editing. I'm going to be honest. We are still in the editing phase.
On the other note, after it took you so many years to do it, that documentary, super fucking awesome, dude.
Thank you.
I hope everybody gets a chance. I tried to repost it in my 503 Craft Brew Group. I just want to make sure everybody sees that. I know Tom reposted it. So I just want to, you know, I'm always about supporting like you, local people, regardless of whatever it is. And you did a great job. I mean, for a 30-minute video, for a 30-minute like thing, you made it sound like it took so long to do it, so many years. I'm like, damn, like sometimes you don't realize how long something takes, even though it's like it might be only like 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, man, this is your blood, sweat, and tears. So,
you can spend, you know, hours or days working on something that is a 2-minute short video. And then there's also times where you can spend, you know, 20 minutes making a video that only lasts 20 minutes. So like it doesn't always work out the way you think it's going to, but all right, Zach, thanks for calling in, man.
All right, man. Well, I will be letting you go, and you have a great night, and I'll let you continue with everything. Thank you for answering my call. You guys have a great night. I encourage everyone else to call in, not just me and Marco.
And remember, just communication. Just communicate with your wife. She's going to get pissed off about stuff. You're going to get pissed off about stuff, but just communicate.
Oh, yeah. I try. I'm trying the best that I can. Trust me, I'm trying the best that I can.
That's all we can do.
Thank you for the advice. No, for real, man. You have a great night. Cheers, and I'll be continuing to watch you.
Cheers.
All right, later, bro.
Ryan says, I will echo Zach in that I watched the documentary on YouTube today as well, and it was great. Thank you. Learned a bunch. And that's kind of the difficulty with a video like this one for me, is that there's a lot of different stuff that could have been in this. And like, we could have gone way deeper into some of the history about the site. And it would have been great. Would have been a much longer video and much more difficult to put together, trying to get old footage and old pictures and stuff together. But maybe a part two at some point. let's get into something one of these news stories that I spent all this time working on. Other than talking about just parenting, which is great. The first story, and maybe the only story we'll get to, but the big one that I want to talk about is Kroger. The news just came out that Kroger, in 147 of their stores, they are expanding their wine presence. They're putting in wine bars. They're hiring wine stewards and creating these little spaces in 147 stores that have like this focus on wine. And when I first saw the article and I first started reading it, I thought this is the dumbest thing that I have ever heard. Here's a company, a Cincinnati company that I think a lot of us have our gripes with, that they took all of the bars that they had put into, not all of them, there's still a couple around, especially in other markets. That's fine. They took these bars, these crowbars that they put in, these beer-centric spaces. They put them in, they built this whole thing around them, and then they tore them out and got rid of them. Screw the beer drinkers. And then at the same time, they take their beer selection and they cut it all to hell. And now you can't find a lot of great craft beer in a Kroger store anymore. It's there, and there's a few great brands, but not the way it used to be, and certainly not the way it should be. Why am I going to trust that these guys are going to do anything with wine, a category that, for all intents and purposes, is kind of tanking right now? Nobody's drinking wine. What are they doing? And so I spent some time thinking about it. I spent way too much time today thinking about it, like obsessing over this idea, trying to understand why Kroger cares about wine all of a sudden. And I was pulling up a bunch of different articles, trying to dig into wine as deep as I could. Wine is probably my weakest point in the drinking sphere, which is kind of true for everybody. Not everybody. I get it. There's wine people out there, but there's a lot of people that just don't know anything about wine. And then on top of that, are very, very uncomfortable with trying to learn about wine and order wine and buy wine. And that is exactly why Kroger is doing this. There was an article that I read, if I could find, it's this publication, Silicon Valley Bank has a wine division. I didn't dig into what that's all about, but they put out this whole big study, this whole current state of the wine industry. Really kind of a boring read, but interesting read. The PDF's online if you want to read it. And in there, they make this very clear point that the industry has to, in order to see success, it needs to improve accessibility, price discovery, and experience. And I started kind of obsessing about that, and then realized that you've got this current friction, which is those things, and Kroger is by definition fixing each of those things with this idea that they're doing. There's, you know, consumers, they don't know what to buy, so they're putting these wine stewards into stores. People that in theory just hang out in this little wine department, this little wine store thing that they're putting in, and just wait to talk to you. You don't have to pay them or like anything like that. You don't have to set an appointment. They're just hanging out ready to talk about wine with you, tell you what you should buy. The next piece of friction is that people don't want to waste money on a bottle. I don't want to spend $20 on something, get it home, and it sucks. You can try it first. That's the part of the whole wine steward and wine tasting experience. There's a little tasting bar there. They'll open a bottle and you can try it there and make sure you like it before you take it home. And then kind of the experience in general of it being too stuffy, which has always been a big complaint of wine. People take it way too seriously. They don't have fun with it. We're in the middle of a grocery store. Nobody's taking anything seriously. You're in the middle of a grocery store. I think this might be a good move. I think that it might give Kroger the ability to start to, in theory, shift some consumers. If you can find a way to get some of the younger generations to actually get into wine, to start drinking wine, it could be great. It seems a little big to say for the industry, but it could be great for the industry. But it could be great for Kroger. If Kroger can be one of those spaces where people go to get wine, that's a big deal. And it's not really right now. It's like I'm every time I think about it, I'm coming at it from this really strange lens because I live here in Fairfield. I'm around the corner from Jungle Gyms. If I'm buying wine, I'm going to Jungle Gyms, where there are literally people that are just walking around the wine department. You can ask any question. You know, if I come up with some kind of weird recipe while I'm shopping for food, I can scoot right over to the wine department and be like, hey, I don't know anything about wine. What would go good with this? And there's somebody there to tell me. There's wine to try. Sometimes it's cheap wine. Sometimes it's expensive wine. Sometimes it's weird stuff. But there's always something fun to experience. And if Kroger can replicate even a piece of that, I think they're onto something. I think it's interesting. I'm curious what everybody else thinks, though, because I don't know if you can convince people to go to Kroger to buy their wine. Julia says, Kroger, the new third space. That's okay. That's what's kind of interesting about this, too. I never talked about this beer, by the way. We'll do that in a second. But the third space. What was interesting about the Crowbar and this idea to open these bars and then close them is that they were trying to create this third space. They were making spaces in Kroger stores that were bars. They wanted you to come, get a beer, and sit and hang out. They had live music. They had people playing guitars in the middle of the Kroger store. That's not what people want to do at Kroger. And I think that's what they figured out is that you don't need a bar. This is not that. This is not a place where you sit and eat cheese and drink a couple glasses of wine. This is where you go when you try something because you want to buy it. It's a sales tool, and it's very clearly to consumers a sales tool. And I think that that might help it. It's not trying to trick people into buying something. It's not creating some kind of loss leader, just gets people in the store. No, it's literally designed to make your shopping experience better. You could incorporate this into a lot of different departments. We've recently talked, it was probably on Truth Beer Pod. I don't know. We talked about cheese. I love cheese, but I don't know anything about cheese. I cannot tell you how many times I wish as I'm walking through the cheese department at Jungle Gyms that there would be somebody standing there. And I'd be like, hey, ma'am, I had this cheese the other day. It tasted like this. Had some little cheese diamonds in it. It was really good. Can you point me to something like that? Or help me figure out what that was. And to have somebody that can help that experience for me to find that thing. There are some parts of the store that are always like that. If you're going to the deli or you're going to the seafood department, there's somebody there to talk to you about something, to help you with your shopping experience. And then there are parts of the store where that doesn't exist. Those parts of the store are way, way bigger in Kroger than they are at other places that I shop at. There's not always somebody standing at the meat counter at Kroger. There's not always somebody in the seafood department. Yeah, usually, but not always. So if I have a question about something, I don't have anybody. And there's not really ever anybody in the wine department. If I walk into the wine department at my Kroger, not that I go to my Kroger that often because, again, I'm a Jungle Gym shopper, but if I walk into the wine department at my Kroger and I have a question about a wine, I've got better luck just starting to walk through some aisles and finding somebody that looks like they're a baby boomer and asking them about wine because there's at least a higher chance that they know anything about wine compared to somebody my age. That's how you do it. Hey, Grandpa, you know anything about wine? I think it's smart. Chris says, I'm not sure I've ever witnessed anyone buy wine. Chris says, make it better by not making the pharmacy on the other end of the store from everything else. Ryan says, let's get a meeting with Jungle Jim, with the Jungle Gnome. Convince him he needs purchase advisors. I definitely do that anyways. If you run into me ever at Jungle Gyms, I will probably try to talk you into buying something. Julia says, I hear ya. I need someone to tell me if the Cheez-Its or the Cheese Nips will go better with my hot dogs, and there is no one in the snack aisle to help me. I mean, it's an example, but it's not wrong, and the answer is always Cheez-Its. Cheese Nips are an abomination to the snack world. Chris has lots of Busch Light, though. All right, let's talk about this beer. Let's try it. This is great. I think it's not like as like creamy as I would expect it to be if we're trying to replicate a White Russian. I recognize it's still a beer. It's not supposed to taste exactly like a White Russian, though. But it's a dead on like big white blonde stout. Creamy, coffee. Yeah, it's great. There's definitely a part of me that wishes it was a little more like lactosey. And I say that not really loving beers loaded with lactose, but to kind of replicate that White Russian thing. I love this. This is a fun beer. Here's the problem with me. There's a lot of problems with me, but here's one of the problems with my beer habits. I keep finding myself when I buy beer just to put in the fridge, and I'm not talking about the stuff that I put in here for the show or for videos and things like that. Now, those are like saviors because I'm buying like not always the same beers, but I'm buying like simple beer styles. Like I'm filling the fridge with a Helles Lager or a Hefeweizen or a Schwarz beer, like just the same stuff that I always drink, maybe from different breweries, but the same kind of styles. I'm not like, if I saw a 4-pack of an Imperial Blonde Stout, I'm probably not buying it. I would buy like a single for this show, but this isn't a beer that like I would look at on the shelf and be like, yep, that's what I need to drink this week. Like it's not jumping out to me. I ran into this problem. I ran into this the other day. Like I had this this hankering for a lambic, and my beer cellar at this point is mostly sour beer. It's mostly like lambics and Belgian sours. There's still a decent amount of Imperial Stouts, but most of it is sour stuff because that's really what I enjoy drinking is wild sour beer. But it's in the cellar. It's in the closet. It's around the corner. It's not in the fridge. And like I kept forgetting to put it in there, just not thinking about it, and like so I'm just not drinking it. And like there are beer styles that I have in my house that I love drinking that I find myself just not like not consuming for different reasons. And I don't know how to like force myself to fix that. I don't know if I need to like make some kind of rule that like on a pick a night of the week or something and be like, oh, this night of the week, you know, you got to drink some beer style that you haven't had for 2 months, you know, find something weird. Julia says, I bought a 6-pack of Oberon Light today because of how damn good it was on tap at HG. Can't recall the last time I bought a wheat beer prior. I buy a decent amount of wheat beer. I drank a wheat beer this weekend. We went, I don't know if you guys follow me on social. If not, you probably should. On Instagram especially. Instagram is still my favorite social media platform. I love Instagram. Nobody like uses it the way I wish people did, but I still love it. Like I still like posting pictures. So we were, my daughter likes horses a lot. Like she loves horses. So she has lots of horse toys, including these little briar horse things. I don't know if you guys know what those are. It's like these little like realistic looking horses, these stupid expensive realistic horses. And once a year they throw this big festival for collectors of these horses to come. And it's down at the horse park in Lexington. So we took the kids down there. Thank God. Like I didn't know what I was walking into. Thank God they not only had a beer garden, they had like 4 different locations where you could get beer around the park. And one of those was the beer garden. In the beer garden, there's not only a West 6th beer tent, there was a Castle and Key distillery tent, there was some kind of meadery. I probably should have paid attention to what their name was. I apologize to whoever you were, great meadery of Lexington. I didn't drink any mead. That sounded like it would be a pathway to something that I didn't want to deal with that day. But they had mead, and then they also had a cidery. So I drank some cider. We had a cocktail, and then I had a beer. And I went up to the West 6th tent, and I said, "Hey, man, I need a beer right now." And he said, "All right." And they had like five different beers or something, all kind of basic ones. Mexican lager, there was an amber, you know, whatever. But one of them was a wheat beer. And I'm like, "I'm going to get that wheat beer. That sounds like what I need today." And he's like, "Do you want the 16-ounce or do you want the 32-ounce? And there's this big, like, collector's cup 32-ounce beast of a beer. And I'm like, "I'm going to drink that 32-ounce big old beast of a beer, and it's going to be that wheat beer." And I did, and it was delicious, and so I did have a wheat beer. That's the whole point of this, is that I did buy a wheat beer recently. Chris says, "I bought my first 12-pack in a long time the other day. Floyd's Gold Lager." I do buy 12-packs every once in a while. But it's always 12 packs for me are always light beer to put in the garage fridge. I try to keep a big chunk of the garage fridge always filled with something kind of light and crushable for people that come over. Usually if we have company, we're always hanging out upstairs. Like, we don't come down here unless people are wanting to drink or listen to music or play music or something. We come down here for very specific purposes. So when people are coming down here, we're drinking something very different than light beer. But upstairs, if people just come over or they're hanging out or something, the light beer drinkers need something quick and easy that they can get to. So it goes in the garage fridge. But it's always like, that's the only time I buy a 12-pack. And I do try to rotate through which one I'm drinking so they can always be trying different ones. I have my favorites. And at some point I need to make a video about that because I need to try them all next to each other to make sure my favorites are actually my favorites. Julia says, "I'm talking wheat beer in packaging." My 32-ounce cup is a package. It's packaged in that cup. Package. Chris, "I'm getting some champagne velvet to take on my trip to Muskegon next week." I don't know the last time I've had a champagne velvet. I need to drink one. Stopping at New Holland on the way. That sounds like a good plan. Ryan says, "Got a 12-pack of Kirkland's Signature. Why I still can." You could still get it, but we don't know what it's going to be. There's no way they stop making some kind of Kirkland Signature light something or other. There's no way they stop it. It's just not going to be the same beer from Deschutes. On that note, there's no way Deschutes stops making it. So that the beer will still be around from Deschutes. Like, it's just going to, everybody's just, it's like mom and dad are fighting or something. Like, they don't want to talk anymore. That's really all I got for you. Drank a wheat beer, big old wheat beer. What did we learn today? That's okay. Let me take another sip and let's figure out what we learned today. That's a great beer. We learned today that that's a great beer. We learned today that if you were ever up by Birdfish, where is that? Columbiana? Is that right? If you're ever by Birdfish, stop in. Tell them that you want this beer. They'll brew it up for you if they don't have it. We learned that you can get a giant wheat beer and it counts as being in packaging. Big old 32-ounce giant cup counts as packaging. We learned that Kroger likes wine, hates beer. But that's okay, because that's the way the world is working now. We learned that everything is okay as long as you communicate with your spouse, but she might still yell at you. We also learned that sometimes you got to move some beer stuff to make way for your children. We learned that the Cincinnati Brew Fathers don't call in because they are much too famous, but they have people for that. But their people work 9 to 5, so they can't call into this show because 9 to 5, the hours are, It's all off. We learned that maybe Patron makes a rum, and maybe it kind of sucks, but doesn't suck so much that I wouldn't drink it. In fact, it's not bad. It's just kind of okay. But we're not sure if it's Patron, so none of that matters. I think that's all we learned. We also learned that I'm fuzzy, but that's okay because we all get fuzzy after a while. Sure. Look, I appreciate all of you guys for hanging out with me. If you didn't watch the documentary already, please watch it. Go to YouTube. Look for A Light in the Tunnel. Just go to my channel. It's there. Julia says, we learned that the Cincinnati Brewery Patriarchs have a merch store and you should buy some. And they have a discount code for a few more days. That's true. You can get a brew dad doodad. Why not? Do you have a brew dad doodad? Because if you don't, you need one. Yeah, look, I appreciate you guys for hanging out, making the show happen every week. It's always... It's always a fun little wild ride for me. Like I spend a bunch of time like prepping things that I think I'm going to talk about. Sometimes we hit them. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we hit one of them. Like tonight we hit one, didn't hit any of the other ones. It's fine. We'll talk about it eventually. It's always fun trying to figure out like what's the title of the show going to be. I hope you understood the reference on this one. Quit whining. Whine, Kroger, quit whining. Yeah, I appreciate you guys. This is like a fun little like adventure every week that I enjoy going on with you. We'll do it again next week. If you didn't listen to this week's episode of Drinking with the Gnome, please do that too. I'm going to work really, really hard at keeping this schedule together of every other week, having a podcast, having, you know, Drinking with the Gnome, Cincy Brewcast, Drinking with the Gnome, Cincy Brewcast. I'm going to work really hard at that. I can't promise that it'll be every week. So don't give me crap. And I'm talking to you, Zach. Sometimes it's not going to work. that's just the way it works. But I'm going to try. This week I drank a highballs. Actually, I didn't drink anything on the show. I feel weird like making a cocktail and drinking it on that show because then I feel like it distracts from me talking. I tried to keep it like good and precise and like a tight little produced episode. I hope you like it. I spent a lot of time prepping for that episode and trying to make it sound the way that I want it to sound. I'm going to keep working on that show and keep kind of evolving it into what I've always wanted Drinking with the Gnome to be. Hopefully you had a highball this week. If you did, send me a message on something and tell me what highball you had. To even better, take a picture of a highball, of you drinking a highball, and post it on Instagram and tag me. I think that's good for both of us. I'll share it out. Cheers, everybody. I appreciate you. We will see you again next week. I think we should do this again. Let's say next Monday around 9:30-ish. If that works for you, it works for me. I will see you then. Cheers, everybody. Be gnarly. Drink something good. Highballs, packaged, big cups of beer. Doesn't matter. Just drink something good. Cheers. Resisting a highball joke. What is a highball joke like? Highball, like, is that like a high five but with basketballs? I know what you were thinking. I was gonna say pervert. Testicles. I was gonna say testicles.